was claiming him with all the fervour of her being, just as he had claimed her. Lady Elvina Winwood, watching them fondly, was delighted at the sight of her cousin Claudia, who had found perfect happiness. James was a fine young man, and this was a splendid wedding. How beautiful the bride is, Elvina thought, as she offered her left hand to James so that he could place the ring on her finger. Her dress was glorious, all satin and tulle, decorated with lace. The lace veil on her head was a family heirloom. How beautiful and how gloriously happy! Only true love could bring that kind of joy. Suddenly, the picture of Andrew came into Elvina's mind. Captain Andrew Broadmoor, an ex-army officer who had recently taken up residence on his estate close to hers. He was young, handsome, and his passion for horses equaled her own. When she had left Derbyshire to come to London for her cousin's wedding, Andrew had kissed her hand and told her that she must return soon. There had been a look in his dark eyes that had made her tremble. Now she seemed to feel the imprint of his lips once more on her hand, and remembered the way her heart had beaten faster. "With this ring, I thee wed." The bride and groom were proceeding with the marriage service, becoming truly united. And then something strange seemed to happen. Suddenly, the bridal couple were no longer Claudia and James, but Elvina and Andrew. She looked at her cousin in the glorious white gown and veil, and saw herself, and the groom, bestowing such an adoring look in his bride, was Andrew. "It is true," she thought blissfully. "I love Andrew, and he loves me. When I return home, he will ask me to be his wife, and soon we shall be the bridal couple standing before the altar." "I now pronounce you man and wife." The organ swelled, and the happy couple turned to leave the church. Everywhere there were glowing smiles. The widowed Lady Tranbourne, Elvina's Aunt Alice, was full of triumph at seeing her daughter make such a fine match. "There," she sighed. "Didn't that go well, Elvina?" "Elvina?" Elvina came out of her blissful trance. She felt as though she was bursting with joy at what was happening to her. She knew now that Andrew was the right man for her. "Yes, Aunt," she breathed. "It was a beautiful wedding." Together they walked out of the church. It was St. George's, Hanover Square, for, as Aunt Alice had insisted, "Everybody who's anybody marries here." Outside there were carriages waiting to take them back to Tranbourne House in Grosvenor Square, where a huge, glittering reception was to take place. "Well, I hope you are now convinced what an exciting place London can be," Aunt Alice told Elvina as they travelled home. "We don't see you nearly often enough. It is too bad of you to hide yourself away in Derbyshire." "Dear Aunt, it is so kind of you to want me to stay, but my life is in Derbyshire, caring for the estate and Papa's horses." "You say Papa's horses as though he was still alive, but they are your horses now." "Yes," Elvina agreed a little sadly. "It is just that I was always so close to Papa. I still think of everything as his." Her father had died a year ago, leaving her a large estate, a good deal of money, and 50 magnificent horses, which, after his daughter, were the love of his life. Lord Winwood had been an earl, and his title, plus a certain amount of money, had been entailed and had descended to a cousin. But his house and estate, and the bulk of his fortune, had gone to his beloved daughter, Elvina. "You still miss him, don't you?" Aunt Alice said gently.
"Yes, terribly. Ever since Mama died 4 years ago, Papa and I were everything to each other. Now he has gone too.
And you are living all alone in that great house."
"I'm not alone. I have Margaret. We get on very well."
"My dear, a paid companion, and a poor relation at that."
"Aunt dear," Elvina protested, laughing, "what a terrible way to describe poor Margaret."
"She is a paid companion, isn't she?"
"Well, yes, but..."
"And she is a poor relation of your father's family." Papa...